Thank you for joining us.
How you feeling, guys? Everybody okay?
Everybody's feeling okay. Everybody's waiting for the starting gate, like the dogs coming out chasing the rabbit.
When they see you.
Good to see you too, Gabriel.
Shkalach Jay, good morning.
Good morning, Rabbi.
Thank you for joining us. And today's daf is daf Ayin Hey in Masechet Shabbos, page 75. We are on the bottom of page 74b. And the topic that we're dealing with today is, again, continuing the major theme of Masechet Shabbos, the different melachos. We're going to discuss the melacha of tearing, the melacha of sewing. We saw yesterday the melacha of tying and cooking. And through that, today we're also going to talk about shechita, slaughtering on Shabbos, which is not allowed, dyeing, coloring materials, even a little bit about weaving at the end. And through that discussion, we'll also get into a little matter of Agadita, where the Gemara emphasizes the importance for Jewish rabbis to utilize their scientific capabilities, in this instance, the capabilities and the learning of engineering and math, astrology and weather prognostication, for this is the pride of the Jewish people, that it has members who can reveal wisdoms that even the nations of the world are impressed by that understanding. You know, just on a personal note, Hannah's grandmother's father, Professor Frankel, was a meteorologist for the German army in World War I, and he used his knowledge of math to make weather predictions, and that would be a fulfillment of this Gemara, that Jews should use their knowledge of math and engineering to predict weather patterns, and that's something that the nations of the world would appreciate about the Jews. They may not appreciate our learning of Gemara or learning Hilchos Shabbos, but they can appreciate that there are Jewish mathematicians and Jews who know how to figure out the weather, which is something that impacts them as well. Okay, let's start here on the bottom of Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, one of the 39 melachos is HaKorea Al Menas Litfor, one who tears in order to be able to sew up. So, of course, on Shabbos, you're exempt for activities that are mekalkalin, activities that are destructive. So how could Korea be one of the 39 melachos when you tear? Presumably, it's always destructive. The answer is, if you tear in order to be able to sew, the tearing is not considered destructive, and that is the melacha that is prohibited on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, Kriya b'mishkan mihava. Where in the Mishkan was it necessary in the construction of the tabernacle to be tearing material? And of course, only that which was needed in the Mishkan and was done in the Mishkan, as we learned yesterday, had to be a prominent act, and an act that's done in the Mishkan is what's prohibited on Shabbos. Answered the Gemara, Rabbi Rav Zera, Dami Tarvai, Rabbi Rav Zera both answered. Now starting today's daf, Ayin Hamud Aleph. Shekein Yiriya Shanafel Ba Darna. If you had a tapestry, remember they had tapestries that were woven and they had skins on top of the Mishkan. So let's imagine one of the tapestries, the tapestry of the woven goat hair, or the tapestry with the picture of the lion, the picture of the eagle on it, and the picture of the bull on it, right? A tapestry that's woven on top of the Mishkan. Shanafel Ba Darna, that a little moth, a worm falls onto it. So what happens when you have a worm on a carpet? When you have a worm on a carpet, the worm eats its way through. So in the middle of this tapestry, there might be a little round hole because the worm made the hole. So that doesn't look good. So what would they do? Korinba. They would tear the two sides of the hole. They would widen the tear and then sew it up. Because as Rashi explains, to just stitch over the hole would make the tapestry now bunched up together in the spot of the hole. So they would tear the whole thing. They would tear from the bottom all the way to the bottom of the hole, all the way to the bottom of the tapestry. Then they'd tear from the top of the hole all the way to the top of the tapestry. And now re-sew the two sides to each other. So the tearing, in order to re-sew, which would make it look nice again, That is a malacha on Shabbos. I'm Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia. I'm a Rav. So now another malacha about sewing. Another law. Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia said in the name of Rav, Hamoteach chut shel tefir b'Shabbos. Let's say you have a couple of stitches in your garment, and the knot tying the stitches down has unraveled. So now the stitches might all unravel, and they're getting unraveled. And so now the garment sides are, the garment, that which was tied together through the stitches is now separating. So a person who pulls the string in order to pull back the two sides to each other is chayav chatas. That's a biblical malacha, and he has to bring a sin offering for this a mistaken biblical violation on Shabbos.
Rabbi?
Yeah, question, is he? Oh, great.
Sometimes, you know, we, during our pants pocket, you know, it's happened a few times to me in life. Is this will be shogeg to give chatat? Because I'm Korea, it's going to be letaken.
But I don't think you're tearing it in order to fix it. There you have a hole in the pocket. You put your finger in to try to get something out. You make the hole bigger. You're not trying to make it bigger in order to now be able to sew it up in a way that'll be nicer. So I think that's destructive. That's makalkel, and you would be exempt from a karban chatas. And you're not trying to do it, so it's misasek. You're trying to do something else. It's not a malach at all. It'll be permitted. It'll be permitted entirely.
Okay. Holy pocket, Mr. Ashkenazi. Holy pocket. Leave it alone.
Everyone in our shir has holy pockets. That's for sure. That's for sure. Okay, so we are again on Daf Ayin Hamad Aleph, page 75a, dealing with the topic of sewing. So the Mishnah taught us that included in sewing is, or another malacha connected to sewing is tearing in order to be able to sew. So now the Gemara says, if you have a couple of stitches and you pull the thread of the stitches to tighten the two pieces to each other, hamoteach chut shel tefir b'Shabbos, a person who pulls the string of the stitching on Shabbos, chayav chatas, he has to bring a sin offering because the tightening of the stitches is itself a malacha. That's part of sewing. All right, next case. So again, these are lessons. We're going to learn three lessons from Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia in the name of Rav. So the first one second, a question. We had learned, I thought, that if you have a new suit, and let's say the pocket sewed together, and you want to open it, and don't want to re-sew, you cannot. However, based on this Gemara, it seems that it's allowed. Okay, very nice question. It's not allowed because it's makeh b'patish. If you have a new suit and you have a couple of stitches, you want to open the flaps on the back, opening the flaps of the back is the last act to make the suit usable. So that's makeh b'patish, but it's not the malacha of korea. Korea is to tear in order to re-sew. There you're not tearing in order to re-sew. There you're just tearing to now be able to use it.
What if it wouldn't be the last act? So let's say there would be a
Rabbi, you could use the suit even if the pocket is still closed.
But people wouldn't. People wouldn't. I'm not even talking about the pocket. I'm talking about the stitches on the back of the flaps of the jacket. You know, a guy who walks around with these little white threads in the back of his jacket, people laugh at him. He takes off the jacket. He doesn't want to wear it. So taking off those stitching, that's what completes the usability of the garment, and therefore it would be makeh b'patish on Shabbos.
What if there would be a tag which you also have to take off?
Same. I think that might be the same.
But makeh without patish, you said, is
Rabbi,
the
you,
last
if
thing
if you tear up your crotch in a gathering, okay, and it's so embarrassing. So the guy is not allowed to repair his pants. He has to walk around with his torn crotch.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Not allowed. Wow. Okay.
The embarrassment will be mechaper. It'll wipe away his averos. He won't have to spend money on karban chatas. He was embarrassed. That wipes away his sins. It wipes away his sins.
Okay,
so again, three lessons from Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia. Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia said in the name of Rav a lesson about sewing on Shabbos. If somebody pulls the strings of the stitches and thereby tightens the stitches, that is sewing on Shabbos also, even though he didn't knot them at the end. All right, amazing. Next lesson. Someone who learns anything, even a Torah thought, from a magush, deserves death. So we'll have to see what a magush is. The Gemara will explain in a second. Three. If you have a rabbi who's not only gifted, there's different explanations of this Gemara, but we'll take one explanation. A rabbi who's not only gifted in Torah learning, he's also gifted in secular knowledge. He knows a lot of math, so he can calculate the sun, when the sun is going to be stronger, when the sun will be weaker. By calculating the sun patterns, he's calculating the weather patterns, and he can calculate in the stars about which star is rising, which star is coming down, when a person is born under this star, when a person's born under that star. He can calculate horoscopes. He can calculate astronomy. He knows engineering. He knows math. He knows how systems work. So anyone who knows how to figure out these things, and he doesn't do it, he says, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be involved in math. I want to be involved in chesed, in Torah learning. Why should I be involved in math? Asur l'saper imenu. Now that I talk about him, because he has the opportunity to sanctify the name of God. He has the opportunity to show that a Jew, through his learning of Torah, through his learning of Gemara, he has insights into other disciplines too. And the non-Jews, they don't appreciate Torah, but if they see that a Jew is a brilliant mathematician, they appreciate math. They also need to know what the weather's going to be. So they appreciate him. So he has a chance to create Kiddush Hashem. And he's choosing not to create Kiddush Hashem. So someone who chooses not to create Kiddush Hashem, you're not allowed to talk about him. Don't mention him. Don't quote him in the yeshiva. Don't talk about him. He has a chance to do Kiddush Hashem and he's not. So don't have anything to do with him. That's what the Gemara says. So now the Gemara talks about these three lessons, right? Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia said the name of Rav. Lesson number one, if one tightens the threads of stitches, it's considered stitching. Lesson number two, you're not allowed to learn anything from a magush. What's a magush? Magushta, what is this magush? Rav and Shmuel argue, Chada Mar Charshi, one said, it's a sorcerer, a person who does black magic. Chada Mar Gedufi, one said, no, it's a heretic. It's someone who doesn't believe in God and he denies the existence of God. So, Tistaim, I could prove the identity. The Rav, the Amar Gedufi. Rav is the one who says that a magush is someone who denies God and he denies Torah and he's a blasphemer. And so that's what Rav is saying. If somebody doesn't believe in God, don't learn anything from him. Don't even learn. He has a Torah insight. Don't learn it from him. He doesn't believe in God. He attacks God. Don't learn anything from him. Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav, because Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia said in the name of Rav, Alomi Dovarechon Amagosh Chayiv Misa. We just said, if somebody learns anything from the Magush, he deserves to be killed by heaven. Now, Isak Adai Tacharsh, you're going to tell me it's a magician, a sorcerer. You are supposed to learn black magic. You're supposed to learn black magic because you have to know what is the prohibition of black magic. What's, if somebody's doing black magic, you have to know, are they doing an Aveir or not? You have to know if there's a prophet who predicts a miracle. Is he really getting prophecy? Is he doing it through black magic? That you have to learn. Haksil, the verse says, Lo silmad lasos. You're not allowed to learn from the magicians. You're not allowed to learn the black magic to do black magic. Avalat alamid lahavin lahoros. But you are supposed to learn the black magic to be able to issue rulings about black magic. That false prophet was using black magic. This is black magic that you can't study. So you have to learn it to know what it is. So it can't be that Rav is saying you can't learn anything from the magician, because Rav would say you're supposed to learn black magic from the magician. You're just not supposed to learn the black magic from the magician for you yourself to carry out black magic. So when did Rav say you can't learn from the magush? It must mean it's not the magician. It's the heretic. You can't learn anything from a heretic, according to Rav. Don't even learn Torah from the heretic, because if you start learning Torah from the heretic, he's going to now teach you heresy. That's what Rav is saying. This time you prove that that's the view of Rav. Now we go into the question of math and engineering. Any rabbi who has the ability to make the calculations of the different, sun cycles, tkufos, when the sun is strong, when the sun is not strong, mazalos, the astronomical calculations, when the stars are arranged where they are, which star is what, Ve'ino choshev, and he doesn't do it. All of Akasiv Omer, about him, the verse says, Ve'espol Hashem le'abitu. They could have looked at the handiwork of God. They refused to look at science, to look at the natural world, to appreciate the way things are in biology, in chemistry, in engineering, in math. This is the handiwork of God. This is not Bittul Torah. This is the handiwork of God. This is the way God made the world, to learn the world, to study the world. It's very important. Those who don't look at the handiwork of God, Masa Yadav Loro, they don't see the handiwork of God. They're committing a crime. Amr Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amr Reb Yochanan, Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said to Reb Yochanan, Minayin Shem Mitzvah L'Adam L'Chashev Tkufas HaMazalos. How do we know that there's a mitzvah on man to calculate the stars and the sun and the seasons? Shanamar, the verse says, V'shmartim V'asisem, you better watch this, you better do this. Kihi Chachmaskam V'vinaskam L'Enei Amim, this is your wisdom and your understanding to the eyes of the nations. What's the wisdom and understanding to the eyes of the nations? Do they appreciate Torah? Not necessarily. That is the calculation of the stars and the sun and the math and the engineering. And you're supposed to, you know, show the world. You're supposed to teach the world that Judaism has insights in all of these areas. And so that they'll be inspired by Jewish people, by Torah people. In fact, the Gaon of Vilna wrote a textbook on engineering, on Chachma Satchuna. He wrote a whole book on engineering to fulfill this mandate. Listen, the Gaon of Vilna was a genius. He knew everything. So he knew engineering too. And he wrote a textbook on engineering to fulfill this. And this is this Gemara that it's important to know. The Chishuv Tkufos Umazalos. Okay, going back now to Hilchos Shabbos. We're at the two dots. Ayin Heim and Aleph. Yeah, Baruch, a question.
During the Jewish history, a bunch of rabbis, they proclaimed to be Moshiach, and they caused a lot of death to our people there.
That's true.
Are those rabbis Magos?
I don't know, maybe. Could be. I don't know. It's possible. You know, the Rambam has a letter to the Jews of Yemen to encourage them. It was a very, very difficult time, and because it was a difficult time, they fell in to the false belief of believing a certain false Mashiach. And the Rambam wrote a whole letter to encourage the Jews of Yemen. The Rambam generally didn't believe in any black magic, but it could be. Could be some of these fellows, the Shabtai Tzvis and the other guys over the course of Jewish history. Maybe there was an element of sorcery in what they were doing. It's possible, for sure. For sure. All right, now back to Hilchos Shabbos. We're at the two dots dealing with the different melachos. So the Mishnah said one of the 39 melachos is Hatzad Tzvi, is trapping a deer. So the deer is running free, and a person traps it. He restrains it. He throws a rope on it, ties it down. Now it can't move. That is a melacha. Someone who traps the chilazon. Now that's a big question nowadays. What is the chilazon? Some think it's a snail. Others think it's a jellyfish. It's a type of a fish of some sort. But the Gemara here, the Brice here says, the chilazon, we know they would use its blood to make the tcheles die, to make the blue die. So hatzad chilazon, someone who traps a chilazon, v'apotzo, and then he breaks it open to get the blood out of it. Eino chayev ela achas. So he's only chayev for one malacha. There's one malacha here. So Rabbi Yehuda says chayev shtayim. Now there are two malachos here. So Rabbi Yehuda, because we used to say, number one, there's tzad, there's trapping. And secondly, ptzia b'chlal disha. Liftsoa, to break open this jellyfish or the snail and get the blood out, that's a form of squeezing an olive to get the olive oil out. The blood was inside the tissue of the fish or of the snail. When you crush the snail or put pressure on the fish, you're pushing out blood that was inside the tissue. It's like taking grain and putting pressure on top of the grain to detach the kernel from the chaff that's around the grain. Or taking an olive and squeezing an olive to get the olive oil out of the olive. So that is the malacha of dash, or mafarik is the more accurate word here, because it's not about grain. With grain, it would be called dash. That's the second malacha. Amalot, the sages disagree. They said, no, ein p'tzia b'chlal disha. That liftsoa, to squeeze the fish or the snail and to get the blood out of the tissue of the fish or snail, that's not the malacha of dash. That's not categorized as being part of the category of putting pressure on something to remove something which was inside from its external husk. So Amar Rav, Rav explained, my time of the Rabbanan. What's the reasoning of the Rabbanan? Masavi, they are of the opinion, Ein Disha Ela Legidule Karka. Disha only applies to things that grow from the ground. And this doesn't grow on the ground. This is a fish. It's a snail. Snail doesn't grow on the ground. Disha applied to grain. It could apply maybe to an olive, because an olive comes from the ground. But a fish and a snail do not come from the ground, and therefore there is no dash to this. The Gemara asks, with a chai of nine mishim netilas neshama. Why do we say that if you trap the chilazon, it's only tzad, it's only trapping, it should also be taking a life? Because when you squeeze the chilazon to get the blood out, you're killing the chilazon. I'm Reb Yochanan said, Shepzo meis. The case of the Mishnah could be, or the case of the Braisa could be, where the chilazon was already dead. Once it was dead, he squeezed it to get the blood out. Rava Amarava said, no, afilu tema shepzo chai. It could even be that he squeezed it when it was still alive. But Ms. Asiku waits on the Tilas Nesham. He's not trying to kill it. He was trying just to get the liquid out. He wasn't trying to kill it. So since he was a misasik, he wasn't trying to kill it. Therefore, it's okay, even though he terminated the life of the chilaza. Ask the Gemara, Abai of Rava, Dami Tarvayu, but didn't Abai and Rava both say, Modi Rabbi Shimon, Psik Reisha V'lo Yamos? Doesn't Rabbi Shimon agree that if you do something that you're not trying to do, as Baruch raised the question a couple days ago, a guy who's living out in some farm, and the only way to get to shul, he has to walk through the blueberry patch, and when walking through the blueberry patch, he has to knock off the blueberries. He knows he's going to knock it off. How could you say he's not intending to do it? Doesn't Rabbi Shimon say that when you're doing something, you may not intend it, but you know it's going to happen? Let's say a guy wants to get a head of a chicken for his kid to play with. So he goes, takes the chicken, and he cuts off the head. You say he doesn't want to kill the chicken. It's impossible. If you cut off the head, you're killing the chicken. How can you cut off the head and not die? You cut off the head, of course it's going to die. Is it possible to cut off the head of an animal and not die? So the same thing over here. Why do we say that when a guy squeezes out the blood of the chilazon, it's only the malach of tzad, of trapping the chilazon? Forget about the malach of tzad. It's not only the malach of tzad. So it's the malach of killing the chilazon. You can say, no, he's not trying to kill the chilazon. He just wants the blood out. Yeah, but if you're squeezing the blood out, you're going to kill the chilazon. It's automatically going to happen. It's the psikreisha v'lo yamos. Answers the Gemara, no. Here's a very important principle. Shani asam. When you're cutting off the head of a chicken for your kid to play with it, the kamadis be neshama tvei nichole. There, you want the head off. You don't want the chicken head to be attached to the chicken and still part of the chicken, because then the kid can't play with the chicken head. You want it off. But over here, the more the chilazon is alive, the better it is. You'd rather have the chilazon be alive, because when the chilazon is alive, the blood of the chilazon is clear. Once the chilazon is dead, the blood starts to congeal, and it's not as clear, and it's not going to create as good a color. You want to create a nice, clear blue color. So you want the chilazon to be alive. So this is a very important principle. This is psik reshe de lo nichole. Yes, if I'm squeezing the blood out of a fish, there's no question that the fish is going to die. But I don't want it to die. I'd rather it be alive as long as possible. Because the more it's alive, the better the blood is. So when I'm doing something, I know it's going to get to a certain result, but I don't want that result. That is already permitted. And that is not the malacha. So again, to deal with Baruch's case of yesterday, a guy who lives in a farm, and to get to shul, he has to walk through a bush. And when walking through the bush, he's going to knock off blueberries. So can he not walk through the bush because he's knocking off blueberries on Shabbos? The answer is he doesn't want to knock off the blueberries. It's not good for him to knock off the blueberries. If he knocks off the blueberries, he's not going to be able to pick it on Sunday morning. So therefore, it's a psik reshe de lo nichole. Yeah, it's going to happen. But it's not something that he wants. It's not something which is good. And therefore, it's not a malacha. It's not a violation of Shabbos. Fred, a question.
Rabbi, what's the difference between Misasek and Dovashain and Miskavin?
So, you know, misasek is that he wasn't trying to do this activity at all. He was trying to do one malacha.
If you're dragging something in the dirt, you're not trying to make the furrows.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So that is the same as misasek.
That's the classic case of Dovah Shein Miskaven, right?
It's the same thing. Same thing.
But
it's the same thing, but here, once you have psik reshe, so at least in this case, right? Once you have a psik reshe, then you can't say it's eno miskaven. You are miskaven. But we're saying since it's psik reshe de lo nichale, it's a psik reshe that you don't want, that's why it's permitted.
Well, psik reshe but dove shein miskaven makes you guilty because you know it's going to happen. But I'm just, not even with psik reshe, I'm just saying, just misasek and dove shein miskaven, I can't see the difference is what I'm saying.
Well, I think this is the difference. When you're misasek, you're trying to do X, and a different activity Y happens. When it's a Dover Shein Miskaven, you're trying to do this activity. You're just not in. You're not trying to do the result of the activity. Correct. So in other words, you want to drag your bench across the yard, but you don't want to make a furrow. You just want to get the bench to the other side. That's Dover Shein Miskaven. Misasek is, I'm trying to rub my back against the wall because I have a backache. And I don't realize that there's also a light switch there. And when I was rubbing my back, I hit the light switch and turned on the lights. In other words, it's a second activity that was not what you were trying to do. Whereas in a case of Dover Shein Miskaven, I want to do this act of dragging the bench. I'm not intending for the furrow digging. I'm intending for the moving of the bench. But if the furrow digging is automatic, it's psik reshe. It's going to happen anyway. So how can you say I'm not intending for it? So here we have this very interesting idea in the Gemara, which has a lot of ramifications, as we've learned all year. It's a psik reshe. It's going to happen. But if it's lo nichale, you don't like it. You don't want it. So that already makes it better. That already makes it permitted. So you don't want the animal to die. You don't want the fish to die. Rather, it be alive as long as possible. So therefore, it's not a malacha. Izzy, a question.
Yeah, but I think we have here melechet machshevet because he's need the dam for the tchelet.
Correct. Correct. So, and that's the key issue. The issue is, what is the intention? The melechet machshevet. That's the key issue. Exactly. Okay, so now the Gemara says, after we finish the discussion of the Chilazon, we're at the two dots. The Mishnah said, Hashochto, the fellow who traps the deer, and then he slaughters the deer. So there's a malacha of slaughtering on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, Shochet Mishamay Machayev. Where did we see Shochet in the Mishkan? What's the prohibition of slaughtering an animal on Shabbos? Rav Amar, Mishum Tzoveh. Rav said, well, we have in the Mishkan dying. Right? It was clear that they were dying the materials. We said that earlier. So when a person slaughters, he's dying the sides of the animal. When he slaughters the throat of the animal, so the blood comes out and it dyes the sides of the incision. It dyes the skin of the animal. Asks so it's chayav for tzoveya. Shmuel Amar Shmuel said no. It's mishum netilas neshama. It's the malach of taking a life. And we know that one of the things they needed to make the Mishkan was the oros elim ma'adamim, was the reddened skins of the rams, so they had to take the life of those rams. They also had to hit those rams to get blood to go on their skins. So when you hit something to make blood come out, that's reducing life, taking blood. And in the chilazon, you know, they had to take the snail. One second. Going back for a second, the question here in the chat. Kiddush wine for Shabbos is in the fridge. Okay. Going to turn on the light if you open the fridge, correct? Intent is not to turn on the light, but to get the wine for the mitzvah. Good. Can one open the fridge and get the wine? Okay, so the problem is, though, when you open the fridge, you know automatically that the light is going to go on. So this is psik reshe. You know it's going to happen. Can you really say it's a psik reshe delo nichale? It's a result that you don't want, that's not good for you. If there's light, it's easier to find the grape juice. But what happens if you have literally no food, right? You don't have any food for Shabbos if you don't open the fridge. All your food is in the fridge. And if you don't open the fridge, you're not going to get any food for Shabbos. So the way to do it without being nichale, without it being good for you, is to close your eyes, to pretend that you're blind. And when you have your eyes shut, open the fridge and take things out of the fridge. So then when you open the fridge, yeah, you turned on the light. It's a psik reshe. But as we just learned in the Gemara, it's psik reshe delo nichale. It's not a gain that helps you. You don't want it. You're not gaining from it. Your eyes are closed. Then you can rummage around in the fridge and take the food out for Shabbos to have something to eat. Question. If trap kills the animal, not you, is that two karbanos? Well, I mean, you're saying two karbanos, one for trapping and the other for killing? I
think it would depend. In other words, you didn't want to kill the animal, you wanted to trap it. You said that if you kill an animal on Shabbos, it's not good.
Right, only if it's what you want. If you don't want to kill it, then it's a psik reshe delo nichale. It's makalkel, it's ruining things. That would not be a violation of Shabbos. Yeah, question, Baruch.
Yeah, Rabbi, going back to the refrigerator, close your eyes. So when you open, you close your eyes, you open the fridge door.
Yeah.
And you keep your eyes closed while you taking the food out or the
grain
out or anything.
That's right.
You don't open up your eyes.
That's right. At all. That's right.
So you have to search for it, what it is, you know.
That's right.
Eyes and,
that's right.
So this is a
correct.
Okay, the second question I have here is, you know, a lot of these laws that for Shabbat is Chachamim and Tanaim, they wrote it because of what happened around the Mishkan time, and it was all related to Mishkan, you know, these laws thing there.
That's right.
At the same token, at the Mishkan, they used to do Shech on Shabbat. Okay, so
right.
Why can't we follow that rule, the same rule that, you know, since they are following all the rules of Mishkan here, why can't we do Shech on Shabbat?
Okay, so it's not that we follow all the rules of the Mishkan. We derive from the Mishkan what is the definition of malacha. The Torah says, lo sasa kol malacha, don't do malacha. What does malacha mean? Malacha is what was needed for the Mishkan, because we find in the Mishkan the words Malachas Machsheves, but we're not copying the Mishkan. And there's a special verse that tells us that in the Mishkan they could slaughter karbanos. And clearly what the Torah says, Lo sasa kol malacha, you're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. So since it was necessary to slaughter to make the Mishkan, we're not allowed to slaughter on Shabbos. Okay, so going back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, Hashokhto, right? The Mishnah said, if somebody slaughters the deer that he trapped, that would be a malacha. Shochet mishamayim machayiv. What is the chiyuv of shochet? You know, where was shochet needed in the Mishkan? Rav mishum tzoveh. Rav said it was necessary to paint things in the Mishkan, and sometimes they had to paint skins with like oros elam adamim. So shchita, which paints the skin of the animal, is a new malacha, a new form of painting. So it's a malacha unto itself. Shmuel amar mishum netilas neshama. Shmuel said it's based on the taking of the life. So the Gemara now asks on Rav, turning to Ayin Hamid Beis, Mishum Tzoveya In, Mishum Etzios Neshama Lo. Is Rav going to tell me that if somebody slaughters, he's only coloring the sides of the place of the incision, he's not also taking the life? So the Gemara says, Ah, Mishum Tzoveya. According to Rav, Shochet is both. Both Tzoveya, as it's both painting as well as taking a life. Amar Rav, Rav said, Milsa Dami, what I explained, Ema Ba Milsa. Let me explain it further. Because I don't want later generations to come and laugh at me. They're going to say, we just introduced the concept that you have to want the malacha. It has to be beneficial for you. So you might say, how is it beneficial for the slaughterer that the blood that comes out because of the slit of the knife is coloring the sides of the neck. How is that good? How is he happy with that? I'll tell you. Nichale, he's happy. The litvis beis hashchita dama, that the place of the slaughtering is dirty with blood. Then people will see it. When people see that it's bloody, they'll say, oh, he just slaughtered it. Because if it's bloody, that means he slaughtered it now. And if it's fresh meat, people prefer that and they'll come to buy it. Says the Mishnah further, Amolcho, if somebody salts the skin. Vama'abdo, he works the skin to make it soft. These are also malachos. So Gemara says, Hainu Maleach, Hainu Ma'abid. You know, when you put salt onto skin, that's the same thing as working the skin. How is that two malachos? And so the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, okay, take out one of them. There's another malacha, and that is to make the etchings on the leather, to etch with the razor where you're now going to cut, where you're now going to tear. I'm Rabbi Rav Huna, I'm on the Malach Bistro. What about all these malachos are about the manufacture of skins or the manufacture of utensils. Do the malachos about the manufacturing of utensils apply to foods? That's a very big question in the halacha. Would there be a problem of tzovei on foods? Can a child take a food coloring and put it into water, turn the water into green or red? Maybe these malachos don't apply to food. But we'll see here. It's a machlokas. Amar Rabba Ravuna, Rabba Ravuna said, I'm on the malach bistra, a person who salts meat. Chai mishum ma'abed. If he salts the meat on Shabbos, that's the malach of ma'abed, of working an animal product with all sorts of chemicals to soften it up. Rabba said, no, ain't ibud ba'ochlin. These are different types of malachos. These are not malachos of foods. There is no malach of ibud in regards to foods. Amar Rabashi said, even Rabbi Ravuna lo amar el kabayla luurta. Even Rabbi Ravuna would only say it when he needs the meat for a long trip. So he wants to make salami. He wants to salt the meat, to have it something that'll stay for a while, provisions. So then if he puts the salt into it, that would be ma'abed, like putting materials into skin to make them into leather. Avala basic. But if he wants meat for his own house, the person's not going to make his food into just wood. Therefore, that would not be a malacha. Next, hamamako, somebody who smooths down the skin by scraping off the hairs and the parts that are unsmooth. Hamachatcha, one who cuts the skin to size, a piece of leather. Amar bach berchanina, ashaf, bein amudim, a person who smooths the ground that's between the pillars of a backyard, a portico, the Shabbos on Shabbos, to make it easier to sit there on the floor. Chayiv mishum amachik. He's chayiv also for this malach of malachik of smoothing things. Am Rav Chiya bar Abba, Shloshet Dvarim Sachti, Rav Asi, Mishmei Rav Yishum Alevi. Three things Rav Asi taught me in the name of Rav Yishum Alevi. Hamagara Roshet Klunzus b'Shabbos, a person who takes these wooden 2x4s and he smooths them, the top of them. He sands them down at the top to make them smooth. Chayiv mishumachatech, he'd be chayiv for this malacha. I'm sorry, he cuts them to make them smooth. He's chayiv for the malacha of machatech, of cutting to size. Because he wants to cut the tops of these 2x4s. They should all be the same size. So he's cutting things to be the one uniform size. That is the malacha of machatech. Hamamareach retia. If somebody is smoothing out a bandage, the Shabbos on Shabbos, to make it smooth. Chai mishum amachik, that would be this malach of mamachik, of smoothing out skin. Also applies to smoothing out a bandage. Hamasat nisa'evan, somebody who smooths out a stone that he took out of the quarry, the Shabbos on Shabbos, chai mishum amachik v'patish, he's chayiv for completing a utensil. So what Rabbi Kiyo Bar Abba is teaching us is that an amazing thing. It's all the same action. It's really smoothing something down. But when you're smoothing down the beams, so that each of the beams should be the same size, it's machatech. When you're smoothing down a bandage so that the bandage that goes on the wound shouldn't have, you know, any abrasion, that's already memachik. And when you smooth down a stone, that's makabapatish. You're completing something to now make it usable, to be able to use it as a brick. Rav Shimon Kisman said the name of Rish Lakish. Hatzar Tzura Bekli. A person who paints a picture onto a utensil. Or hamenapeach b'klis chuchis, a person blows a glass utensil to make it into a utensil. Chayev mishum makar b'patish. Then he's chayev for makar b'patish for completing a utensil. Amar Rav Yehuda Rita said, "Yeah, question.
You have let's say a piece of piece of meat, roast beef." And they forgot to slice it up on Friday.
Okay.
And you bring it for Shabbat. Are you allowed to slice it in Shabbat? You know, or what's going on here now?
Yeah.
How we do?
Yeah, you're allowed to. No problem.
No problem.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Amar Yehuda Rita has now said, "Hi, man, the shakal akufi miglima." A person who takes the little straps that were left from the weave in his garment, he pulls them out of the garment. Chayim shemak bepatish. Now he's chayiv for completing the garment because now he made the garment usable. V'hani mili, this is true. The kapit alai, when he's upset about these little pieces, that's the case that I spoke about with Yosef earlier in the shiur. Normally, people are upset about a little stitch in the garment, in the jacket, because it looks like he didn't have the scissors to fix it up. So therefore, is chayev for makar b'patish when he takes it out on Shabbos. Okay, akotiv shtei osios, person who writes two letters, he's chayev for kosev. Kasav os achas gedola. Let's say he wrote one big letter. V'yesh b'makoma lichtov shtayim, and it was enough. In that amount of space, in that amount of ink, he could have written two letters. He's still potter, still exempt, because in the Mishkan, they used to write two letters. They used to write, let's say, the letter Aleph on one beam and next to the letter Beis on the second beam. So to put Aleph beam next to Beis beam. So it has to be two letters. If he only writes one letter, even if it's a big letter, he's not chayev. However, machak os gedola, but if he erases a big letter, which has enough space to write in two letters, chayev. So now he's chayev because the erasure is erasing ink in order to be able to write two letters, and at that point he would be chayiv. Amar Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi, v'zechom v'mochim in b'kosev. So here you have a stringency in erasing more than in writing. Then we talk about building a structure.
Not actually write the two letters, but just because he has the intent.
Yes, and he erased enough to be able to write in its place two letters. And he erased in order to write two letters. Abone, somebody who builds on Shabbos, asotzer, somebody who destroys, he takes down a structure. Hamachabe, someone who puts out a fire in order to have a coal. Amavir, someone who lights a fire. And finally, amakabe patr, someone who puts that last hammer blow onto a utensil to finish it, the last touch. Rabbi Ribzer, Dami Tarvayer, Rabbi Ribzer both said, Kalmidi Dispik Mar Malacha, anything which is the completion of the work of the manufacture of a utensil. Chayim shemakabe patr is prohibited because of makar b'patish, of completing something. Then we learned Elu Avos Malachos. These are the Avos Malachos. Elu, these. Lafuke Mai, to exclude what? Answer the Gemara. Lafuke Minu Belezer. That's to exclude the idea of Belezer. The Machayev al Tolda B'makom Ahav. Belezer says that if somebody does the main category and it's Tolada, he only has to bring one carbon. So to prove him wrong, we say, no, these are the primary categories. Belezer is not. Arba'im chaser achas 40-1 lafuk min Yehuda. That's excluding of Yehuda. Tanu l'tanu b'raisa Yehuda Mosif es hashovet of Yehuda includes somebody who straightens the strings that are longitudinal strings in the loom. Vamedaktek and someone who hits the horizontal strings also to straighten them out. Amrlo, the sage said, no. Rabbi Yehuda, you're not really disagreeing with our Mishnah. You're adding these two activities that they're not allowed on Shabbos. We also agree they're not allowed on Shabbos, but they're not separate malachos. They're included. Shoved b'chal mesach, to pull the longitudinal strings, is included in mesach, which is to mount the longitudinal strings on the weave. Umedaktek, and to pull the horizontal strings, b'chal oreg, that's included in the malacha of weaving, which is to throw the horizontal strings across the loom, and thereby to weave. Next Mishnah, Vod Klal Echad Amru. Now they said another rule as well. Kalakasha Latznia, any item which people normally put it away, people normally preserve. It's not something thrown away. Umatznian Kamo. And the amount of this item is an amount that people would preserve, people would put away. Then, if Hotzio B'Shabbos, if you took that item out from the private domain to the public domain on Shabbos, Chayiv Chatzos Alav, you have to bring a sin offering. But an item that people normally do not put away to store, Vein Matznian Kamo, or it's not enough that they would put away to store, V'Hotzio B'Shabbos, and he carried it out on Shabbos, Eino Chayiv, he's not Chayiv, Ela Matznio, except if this is a person who, for him, this is important, right? For him, my mother grew up during what's called Shnot Hatzena, the years of deprivation in Israel, right? She was born in 1948. She grew up in the early 50s. There was no food. They used to give one egg a week per family. That was it. There was no food. It was they were rationing. So my mother could never throw out any food. Growing up, never would throw out any food. Always, there was leftovers, you put it in the fridge, and then maybe you make something else out of it. Never could throw out food. So for her, a small amount of food is something which is, she's matznia. She puts it away. She stores it. So for her to carry that small amount of food, that would be considered a malacha. But for somebody else who grew up in a society of plenty, where there's a lot of food and people waste food, so for them, a little bit of food, if they carry it on Shabbos, that's not chashuv, it's not prominent. And so for them, it wouldn't be the malacha of carrying from the private domain out into the public domain. Says the Gemara, Kala kasha latznia, anything which normally is put aside is preserved. Lafuke mai, to exclude what? Rapapa malafuke dam nida, to exclude the blood that comes out of a woman during her period. Nobody has any use for that. Marukva said, no, lafuke atzi asherah, to exclude the wood of an asherah tree. No one has any use for the wood of the asherah tree because it is aser ba'ana. You can't get any benefit from the tree which is worshipped. Now, Madam Adam Nida, the one who says that there's no use for the blood of a woman that came out, the Nida blood, and therefore if somebody were to carry some Nida blood from the house out into the street on Shabbos in a place with no Eruv, it wouldn't be violating Shabbos because he's not carrying anything of any substance. So, Kosh Ganatzi Asherah, certainly the twigs of the Asherah tree have no use because you're not allowed to get any benefit from them. But Madam Adam Asherah, the one who said that the case of the mission of things that people don't store is the wood of Asherah, but he'll say that the blood that comes out of a woman during her period does have a use, and people do store it away. What's the use? They feed it to their cat. Feedach, in the other opinion, no one's going to feed it to the cat, to chalsha, because it makes the cat weak. And therefore, lo matznale, nobody is putting it aside. Okay, Bezrat Hashem. I'm Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. I'm sorry, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina then said, Hide, look, Rabbi Shimon. This is against the view of Rabbi Shimon. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, he's going to say, all these different amounts that we're going to give, food, it has to be the size of a fig, and all these other things, are those only for those people who treasure these amounts and put it aside according to this amount. But a wealthy person who does not care to waste a little bit, and he doesn't save these amounts of items, he would be putter, were he to carry these amounts of these items from the private domain out into the public domain. Everyone should have a one-